From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
This vote is the most important vote that we take all year.
Democratic Senator Claire Selce speaks during a debate about the state funding for schools. It happens every year around the fifth week of a session. Republican Senator Amy Sinclair is the bill's floor manager.
It is sustainable. It is reasonable. And it is equitable.
Funding for schools come from a variety of sources, but the state supplemental aid, or SSA, is around $3.4 billion. Before the bill's debate in the Senate, it goes through the subcommittee process chaired by Senator Sinclair.
It sets SSA at 2.2%.
This is the overall number that draws the most attention from year to year. Last year, it was 2.3%.
I would encourage the subcommittee to consider increasing supplemental state aid to at least 3.75%.
Superintendent of Norwalk Community School District D.T. McGee offers testimony for a higher percentage increase.
This will help school districts keep up and gain ground on inflation that we've been losing ground on over the last 10 years as some of the SSA increases have not allowed school districts to keep up with increasing costs.
A member of the Board of Education for the Cedar Rapids Community School District, Jennifer Borcherding, requests more.
I would ask for a 4% SSA and a one-time supplement to help us get our kids back on track.
She says her district is running a $6 million deficit due to additional expenses from the pandemic.
I don't know if this isn't a rainy day. I'm not really sure what is. We're living through a national pandemic.
There are proposals to use one-time money from the state's rainy day fund.
As far as the state rainy day funds, we actually have two, the cash reserve and the emergency fund.
Democratic Senator Herman Kornbach is one of the panelists on this subcommittee.
They together add up to 10% of the state budget. So on the order of $700 million now, I think a little more than that, actually. On top of that, the state ran a surplus last year of $305 million.
There is some new money in this bill unique to this year. As the bill advances through the full Senate Education Committee, Senator Sinclair talks about one-time money for pandemic expenses.
It establishes a qualified instruction funding supplement of $65 per pupil for one-time dollars to combat the issues that have faced school districts through COVID, such as additional cleaning, connectivity, substitutes, and the like.
It's this part of the bill that draws significant controversy during the full Senate debate 2 days later.
If this bill goes through as written, the Des Moines Public Schools lose $2,055,365.
Last fall, the Des Moines schools offered mostly virtual learning options. At the time, the governor said the law required them to have at least 50% in-person learning unless they were granted a waiver from the Iowa Department of Education. The waiver was not granted. This section of the bill does not name Des Moines, but this school system is the only one that would not qualify for an additional $65 per student.
Let's fund all kids equally.
Democratic Senator Tony Bisignano opposes the language that would exempt Des Moines schools from this extra funding.
This is a key vote because it's going to say so much. It's not going to do so much. Again, the money, sure, millions are millions, but you know, it is the statement that we send because at some point then this will be the bar that we step up from. That then maybe we come after another group that angered us because they questioned us.
But the floor manager for the bill, Senator Amy Sinclair, says in the fall, the Des Moines school system didn't operate in good faith.
It's been said that kids in Des Moines are just like kids anywhere else, except that kids in Des Moines were never allowed into their classrooms until in November. Nearly an entire semester goes by and these children aren't allowed into their classrooms. All the while, kids across the state were learning in their classrooms. So kids in Des Moines are not just like kids anywhere else because their administration chose not to allow them back into classrooms.
Senator Sinclair says the suggested increase of 3.75% would be irresponsible.
Had we passed the 3.75% and the pandemic raged even harder and our economy tanked again, we would not be able to cover that this year or next year, and then you would see real cuts to education. It would be irresponsible of us to put out a number that our checkbook couldn't cover. This bill is responsible. It is sustainable. It is reasonable, and it is equitable. Mr. President, I move Senate File 269 be read for the last time and placed upon its passage.
This bill passes the Senate, but this isn't the final debate on the K-12 public education funding. The House has a different version of the bill. Republican Representative Cecil Dolchek puts that version aside.
This is a conforming amendment that conforms it to the Senate bill.
The House is now changing their bill to be more like the Senate bill. Representative Dolchek says a deal was reached between the House and Senate.
Our original amendment was at 2.5 for supplemental state aid. This amendment changes that to 2.4%, a little late in the day, but kind of an agreement we've reached with our counterparts across the way.
Gone from this version of the bill is the Qualified Instruction Funding Supplement. That's the section that would not apply to the Des Moines School District. This isn't out of the mix, however, as something like that is in another House bill that will come before the chamber likely in the next week. Because enrollment is down by about 6,000 students, the 2.4 increase translates to less money this year than it did last year, about $50 million less. This means some districts will have what's known as a budget guarantee kick in. Each district is guaranteed at least a 1% increase from the previous year. If money from the state won't match that, the difference will come from property taxes. Democratic Representative Sue Cahill argues the supplemental state aid should be increased to reduce the amount of districts that will require property tax increases.
What I want to make crystal clear is that the bill you have presented and will present will cause 137 school districts in Iowa, over 42% of the school districts, to raise property taxes to make up the district difference in funding from just last year.
Democratic Representative Mary Donahue says since the state had a budget surplus last year, there should be room for a higher percentage increase this year.
My issue here is that we have a surplus of millions of dollars, and we are lowering funding for 137 schools. 42% of them are going to be on budget guarantee. That's 31 more than last year because of this bill.
Floor manager Representative Dolchek says he doesn't like having that many schools requiring the budget guarantee either.
This amendment before us basically is an amendment that allocates roughly $36.5 million. It is part of a package that we're putting together to go to schools. There are some other funds that we're looking at, quite possibly that will go further. I hope this is not the end, and I don't think it is. 2.4% is close to the figure that the House agreed on originally. At 2.5, some would say that was not enough. There are a lot of us in this chamber on both sides of the aisle who would like to have a little bit more, given the budget constraints that we were put with and what was coming down the line and putting the whole budget package together. We felt that this was a figure that we could live with within a budget would give school districts some certainty. One of my priorities has always been to get this done within the first 30 days of the legislative session so the school districts would know when they started to set contracts exactly what they did have, not leave it out there in limbo. This does that. Hopefully this will go back to the Senate and we will get that done within the 30-day timeline. School districts will know when they start to set contracts for next year.
But Democratic Representative Roz Smith says that 30-day time limit to pass the school spending bill has already passed.
As of yesterday at the end of business, we were out of compliance with Iowa Code 257.8. As of our 30 days, started at January 12th, and today we mark 31 days. So I think it's important that the body know that we are already out of compliance with Iowa law.
There are no penalties or enforcement measures for not complying with this law. It's common for the legislature to not pass this annual school spending bill within 30 days. Those 30 days begin the day the governor releases her budget proposal, which happened on January 12th. This is Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
A good civics lesson teaches you how to be an engaged citizen, and listening to Under the Golden Dome helps you be an engaged Iowan. When you become a member of Iowa Public Radio, you support coverage that keeps you engaged and informed. Give now at iowapublicradio.org/donate. It takes just a few minutes to make a powerful impact.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are helping small businesses see a stronger tomorrow at iowabankers.com.
In a House Education Subcommittee, there is a bill that would reduce funding to public schools if information from the 1619 Project is used in K-12 community college or universities. The 1619 Project was published in 2019 by the New York Times. It states slaves from an African nation first arrived at the colony of Virginia in 1619. As stated in the extensive article, it, quote, aims to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the United States' national narrative. There is a downloadable 100-page version of this story, as well as supplemental material that can be used for discussions aimed at classrooms. This bill in the Iowa House Education Subcommittee would reduce funding for a school for every day the 1619 Project material is used in a public school classroom. Sam Jones is a pastor in Hudson. He says it paints an inaccurate picture of the United States.
The 1619 Project seeks to reinterpret history to tell children that America was founded on racism and founded to continue racism, and that there remains a system of racism and oppression.
Rita Davenport from Boone also supports this bill. She was on the Commission of the Status of African Americans from 2014 through 2018. She is here representing her own beliefs.
The agenda of such teaching is creating division and pushing a permanent victimhood status. The BLM movement and its Marxist ideology seeks to permanently change, and I believe to destroy, our country by repackaging our national history as something evil from its core and therefore not worth preserving. I say beware.
Pete Hurd represents the Iowa Federation of Labor. He says when he was in school, it didn't prepare him for the racism he witnessed as an adult.
There's a lot of talk in education and how it is important. We do need to talk about more things than we talk about right now. But we need to be focusing on critical thinking with our children, not indoctrination. By prohibiting this conversation is really a censorship of our history. We should be learning from it, not trying to hide from it.
The Iowa Coalition Against Domestic Violence lobbyist Laura Hesburgh says she does not understand why anyone would be afraid of the information in the 1619 Project.
The very purpose of this project is to fill in the gaping lack of information about the consequences of slavery in our country and the contributions of Black Americans that have been left out of a lot of history books and essential to our understanding of how we are and how we evolved as a culture and a country.
Republican Representative Henry Stone is on this subcommittee's panel and supports the bill because he says the 1619 Project is historically inaccurate.
And its interpretation that our nation is defined by racism and was conceived in oppression is complete conjecture. As our nation tries to begin a healing process and come together, I feel that this curriculum seeks to further divide our nation instead of bringing us together.
Democratic Representative Roz Smith opposes this bill and says the origins of slavery in the United States as presented in the 1619 Project were not part of his education, and he wishes it was.
Because to me, that is when my ancestry started. That is my origin story in this country. My father was born on a sharecropping plantation in 1950. I'm the first Smith to not be born on the same plantation where my father was born, where his mother was born, where his grandmother was born.
The author of the bill, Republican Representative Skylar Wheeler, says his bill doesn't suggest a curriculum, but rather it is about forbidding the use of the 1619 Project.
There is no curriculum established in this bill. There's nothing in this bill that bans the teaching of slavery, Jim Crow. As I said, both should be taught. There is nothing in this bill that changes a single social studies standard.
Representative Wheeler says the project's suggestion that the United States is inherently racist is not true.
America is the only majority white country in the world to elect a Black president, and we've done it twice. Though many Republicans, like myself, did not support President Obama, several would gladly support Ben Carson or Tim Scott or Candace Owens. if they ran for president.
The three prominent black people Wheeler mentions are Ben Carson, who served in President Trump's administration, South Carolina U.S. Senator Tim Scott, and conservative political commentator Candace Owens. Wheeler says he doesn't want taxpayer-funded education to use the 1619 Project because he says it promotes a political agenda.
This project seeks to tear down America, not lift her up. It seeks to divide, not unify. It seeks to distort facts, not simply teach them, and it does so as leftist political propaganda masquerading as history. We must reject revisionist history and leftist political propaganda and move House File 222 forward.
This bill advances out of this subcommittee and can now be considered by the full House Education Committee. This is the weekly legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
Like what you're hearing? Make sure to follow Iowa Public Radio on social media for more episodes and share Under the Golden Dome with your friends. Use the hashtag UTGDPod.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including above and beyond cancer.
A school single and multiple occupancy toilet facility that does not correspond with a person's biological sex.
Republican Senator Jim Carlin reads a bill he authored at a Senate Education Subcommittee. It prohibits a person from entering a public school bathroom that doesn't correspond with their assigned sex at birth.
The bill provides that such a designation and prohibitions do not constitute unfair or discriminatory practices in violation of the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
It's a two-page bill Damian Thompson from Iowa Safe Schools opposes. Thompson says gender identity is a protected class under the state's Iowa Civil Rights Commission.
We've had gender identity as a protected class since 2007, including public accommodations and restroom inclusion. In these 14 years, we have had zero instances of inappropriate actions happening in our school restrooms because of these accommodations.
Paris Basuk is a high school senior in Iowa City. Basuk says the bill would make schools unsafe for transgender and gender nonconforming students.
The bathroom is a place where students seek privacy, and despite that, this bill perpetuates a culture of scrutiny towards trans youth that puts them at risk of bullying and harassment. Separating bathrooms by biological sex would be a discriminatory mandate from the state that says we do not respect the validity of our students' gender identities.
Emily Piper from the Iowa Association of School Boards says this bill would force schools to violate the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
As well as what is forthcoming guidance from the Federal Department of Education that requires us not to discriminate against transgender students. This puts us in an impossible position. It creates a conflict of law that will be resolved over the years through the court system, and so we strongly oppose this bill moving forward.
Kristen Maul is a 39-year-old transgender man who has a daughter in a public school. If Maul used the bathroom while visiting the school,
this bill would say that I needed to use the girls' restroom when I'm there because I'm a transgender man. My birth certificate lists me as female, and that is how the bill language reads. So I urge you all to oppose this, not just for the absurdity and discrimination and pain that it'll cause transgender youth, but just for the fact that the language of the bill simply does not make sense and would produce results that I'm sure no one on the committee or in the public would want a 39-year-old adult man, transgender man such as myself, using the girls' restroom at an elementary school.
Chuck Hurley is from the conservative religious group, The Family Leader. During this 30-minute subcommittee, Hurley is the only guest to speak in support of the bill.
I am somewhat mystified that the discussion seems to be so focused on transgender students with very little or no discussion of the other students that are at these schools. Not all students are transgender or want someone of the other gender in their restroom.
Democratic Senator Claire Selce is one of the three members of this subcommittee panel and strongly opposes the bill.
I'm so sorry to all the Iowans that this hateful and harmful bill is even a thing. I hate that you all have to be here and defend yourselves like this. I hate that adults and parents from around the state have to endure another assault, frankly, on their child's existence, their student's existence, and something as fundamental as using the restroom that all human beings share is frankly pathetic.
Republican Senator Jeff Taylor is also part of this subcommittee panel and agrees to support the bill.
I don't believe there's any intention here of being hateful, of putting people at harm, hurting people's dignity, any of that. I think it's a fundamental difference of perspective. What is gender? What is sex? How is that determined? And, you know, partly because of the transgender movement adopting this in recent decades, essentially how human society has understood sex and gender since the beginning of time, that has been changed. And is this bill going to undo that? Something that I think has been harmful to our society? No, it's not. And anytime when government tries to step in and mandate, there's going to be unintended consequences, there's going to be benefits, and there's going to be drawbacks.
Senator Jim Carlin says this bill is not focused on transgender individuals, but predators posing as a transgender person.
In order to gain access to women and girls, as a legislator, our first duty is to protect the residents of the state and the potential for sexual assault and the videoing and recording of women in restrooms is something that has happened across the country with enough instances to raise concerns about it.
This bill is only about entering toilet facilities in elementary and secondary schools and contains no penalties.
Today I'm going to vote to move this bill onto committee, not out of any animus or ill will towards anybody, but out of recognizing the legitimate concerns of safety and privacy that women and young girls in Iowa have.
This bill is now eligible to be discussed in the full Senate Education Committee. A bill has passed a full committee that would eliminate tenure in the state's public universities. The bill is led in the House Education Committee by Republican Representative Skylar Wheeler.
Tenure was originally intended to protect diversity of thought on college campuses. However, as we have seen clearly in our region's universities, there is no longer diversity of thought.
Democratic Representative Mary Masher says tenure is an incentive to retain quality staff.
You're going to debate it on the floor, pack your lunch, and bring your sleeping bag because we'll be here a long time.
Speaker of the House Pat Grassley says he is considering bringing the bill to the House floor. This is the Legislative Weekly Podcast Under the Golden Dome for Week 5. Help comes from State House reporter Katerina Sestarik. Find her many legislative stories on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Grant Gerlach helped out this week as well. Michael Leland is the script editor. Digital team support from Lindsay Moo and Matt Searin. If you haven't subscribed to this show with your podcast listening programs, I'll be honest with you, I think you should do that. We're not even at the halfway mark for this year's session, so there is so much more to come. I'm John Pimple. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.